definitely in the house. More accurately, we're in his house. Praise God. We've created a tabernacle of praise. We need to keep this going throughout this service. I'm going to give you a real simple lesson right now. I think Bill and Renee will like this. What does it take to build a fire? Three things. Fuel, oxygen, and ignition. But we don't have to worry about the ignition. The Holy Ghost and fire, we got the ignition. And the Word of God is the wood, and praise is the oxygen. And there are times we need to throw another log on the fire, but there are times we need to breathe on the fire, blow on the fire. Praise God, and the flames will go higher. And when the flames go a little higher, you can put a bigger log on the fire. And pretty soon the fire is so hot that it can't be stopped. Hallelujah. And sometimes it is so bright that you can't smother it. I believe we could go a little higher here, don't you? I believe we could go a little higher. Bill, I believe we could go a little higher here. I believe we could go a little further into the glory here. I believe that we can go a little higher. Praise God.
Let's go a little higher. Let's go a little higher.
Higher.
Let's go a little higher.
Higher.
Let's go a little higher. Let's go a little higher.
I need more keys.
Let's go a little higher. Let me hear you. Let's go a little higher.
Higher.
I'm going a little higher. Let me hear you say with determination, I'm going a little higher. Say, I'm going a little higher. We're going a little higher. We're soaring higher. Come on and say, we're soaring higher. We're soaring higher. With Holy Ghost fire. With Holy Ghost fire.
Is defeated. Satan is defeated. Satan is defeated. Satan is defeated. We're going higher. We're going higher.
Hallelujah. Oh, that's good. Keep it going. Waters are so troubled right now. Yes, Lord. That Holy Spirit wind is blowing right now. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Like a rushing of a mighty wind. Say it with me.
Like a rushing of a mighty wind.
Come and fill our hearts again.
Come and fill our hearts again.
Like a rushing of a mighty wind.
Feel that wind blowing in this house. Come on, say it.
Like the rushing of a mighty wind.
Come on and say it, church.
Like the rushing of a mighty wind.
Come and feel our hearts.
Come and feel our hearts again. Like the rushing of a mighty wind.
Like a river that has overflowed.
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 come and fill our hearts once more.
Fill our hearts once more.
Like a river.
Of triumph, praise his holy name. Praise God, praise God. One more time, lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Surrender all, not my will, but thy will be done. Have your way in this place, in our hearts, among us, with us, and through us. Do what you want to do here at the House of the Lord Fellowship Church tonight. 38 wonderful years of obedience, 38 years of laboring in the kingdom, 38 years of sowing and reaping, 38 years of being faithful, 38 years of tithing and giving, 38 years of loving and sharing and working and caring, 38 wonderful years. Thank God for 38 wonderful years. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. 38 faithful years. 38 years of obedience, 38 years of following the Holy Ghost, 38 years of looking not at man but looking at heaven, 38 wonderful years. Thank God for 38 wonderful years. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. That's a good number. 38's a good number. Hallelujah. I remember when I was 38. Praise God. Amen. But I tell you what, we're not looking back, we're looking ahead. Thank God for what we've been through. Thank God for what we've done. But I believe I'm prophesying he's only just begun. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, God's getting ready to do more. Renee's getting ready to do more with you and Bill. Hallelujah. Getting ready to do more. More than ever before. He's going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Give yourself a thump on the chest and say, it's working in me. Praise God. It's working in me. Hallelujah. God's power is working in me. I'll tell you the secret of longevity is Holy Ghost power. That's the secret of longevity. Praise God. The race doesn't belong to the swift or the battle to the strong. Hallelujah. It's not by might, not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. The Holy Ghost will make you younger. I'm telling you what, if you hadn't been in church for the last 38 years or 28 years or whatever, you'd look 15 years older than you look right now. You ought to thank God. The garment of salvation beautifies the meek. Yeah, just get better. Yeah. I believe for every minute we spend in the glory, not just in church, but in the glory. Can I say that again? Not just in church. Some churches will make you old. Some churches will wear you out. If you don't believe in time dilation, go to a dead church. It's the longest hour you've ever been through. But when you're in the presence of God, you lose track of time. Hallelujah. You know why? Because you're stepping over into the land of no horizons. You're stepping over into eternity. You're stepping over into perpetual life. And you'll find out that everybody on the outside got older, but you got younger. Hallelujah. I believe that. I believe that when we spend time in the presence of God, He removes age from our lives. He removes the wrinkles of stress and cares of this world, and He replaces it with joy and a glow and a freshness and a peace. Let me look at you right now. Yeah, you look a lot prettier in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. When that cloud of glory comes in, it filters out the wrinkles. Hallelujah. When you're looking at somebody through the glory of God, through the love of God, they just look so good. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're looking good. Look at your neighbor and say, you're looking good. You're looking good. You're looking good. Well, you may be seated if you promise not to turn the switch of faith off. If you get into spectator mode, I'll know it. I'll get you back up on your feet. We'll have to have another song service all over again, because we are going to stay in the glory and from glory to glory. And we're going to leave here with some glory. Praise God. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we don't faint. Don't be weary in well-doing. Doing the right thing. Going to church is well-doing. Some people have gotten weary and dropped out of church. Well, that's a conditional promise. You're not going to reap in due season if you quit. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in doing right. Don't be weary in praying. Don't be weary in giving. Don't be weary in worshiping. Don't be weary in serving. Don't let weariness come on you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. They that wait upon the Lord, they that serve the Lord, will renew their strength. They'll rise up on wings as eagles. They'll walk and not grow weary. They'll run and not faint. Praise God. Amen. God's going to breathe on you and refresh you and renew you. And you're going to leave here with a hop in your step and a leap in your jump. A twinkle in your eye and a smile in your voice. Praise God. I believe that. Some worship services, I wouldn't even call them worship services, I'd call them song services. I go to a lot of churches. I sat through a lot of song services. Tell you the truth, I could have done without the whole thing. We'd had more of the Holy Ghost if those people had just shut up. And it'll wear you out. But when you're with psalmists, when you're with worshipers, when you're with people who bring the presence of God, you don't get tired. My measure of a good service is people leave energized. They don't want to leave church. They'll linger around, just fellowship. They want to stay around it. Praise God. But when you get tired in church, it's because there hasn't been glory present. Well, there's glory here tonight, so this is going to keep you from getting weary in well-doing, which means that you're going to reap in your due season. Praise God. I'm here to help you reap. I'm a reaper. How about you? I want to bring in my sheaves. How about you? I want to have the reward for my labors. How about you? I'm a reaper. Praise God. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Thank God for the harvest. Oh, John Osteen used to preach, God may not pay on the 1st and the 15th, but payday's coming. Hallelujah. I believe payday's on the way. If we don't faint, if we don't grow weary in well-doing. I want to use a term from astronomy. I believe that in the spirit there is a event horizon. What's an event horizon? Well, it's a boundary line that once you cross it, nothing on the outside of that boundary can affect what's on the inside of that boundary. Praise God. It's a gravitational pull. It's a tidal force. That when it gets a hold of you, it's irresistible. Imagine you're you're in the St. Lawrence Riverway, swimming along, and right ahead of you is Niagara Falls. I tell you, once you cross the event horizon, things are going to change. You're going to go into a whole new thing. It'd be irresistible. I feel a tidal pull of the rivers of God that are propelling us towards a horizon event, and there's going to come, I'm prophesying to you, there's going to come such a radical change that nothing is going to be as it was before. And once we submit to that horizon event, then no one on the outside is going to change what's happening to our lives in God in this new time and new season. It'd be a good time to raise your hand right now and thank God that there is an event on the horizon. I've been to Niagara Falls. It rumbles. It shakes. There's a glory. There's a mist in the air. You can see the rainbows of sunlight. It is quite an experience. I can almost feel the waters cascading over the cliff right now. Praise the Lord. I think you're so close. There's a change on the horizon. You're there almost. It's going to take you over. You can't fight it. You might as well give in. Just turn around and begin to swim. Go deeper and further in Him. You know what we used to sing is, I surrender. That's what I'm talking about right here. Letting the river of God pull us irresistibly into that beautiful heavenly experience here on earth. The late, great Smith Wigglesworth was invited to America to preach. And while he was in New York State, his colleagues took him to show him one of our natural wonders, Niagara Falls. And as he stood on the shore looking at the water thundering over the cliff, the clouds of mist, he began to weep. Tears ran down his face. And they said, oh, Reverend Wigglesworth, what's wrong? I don't know if they understood it, but he pointed and he said, it's like that inside of me. Lift your hands again. Oh, just to be caught up, just to be swept up. Just to be borne along. So many people are paddling the wrong way. you just need to turn this thing around and go with God. He's taken you someplace you've never been. He's taken you someplace that's better than anywhere you've ever been. Just over the horizon, there's a new change, a new event. I'm prophesying to you tonight, church. A lot of people in church just, they're so cynical right now that they don't believe we can have another Azusa. They don't believe that we can have another Pentecost. They don't believe that we can be revived. But I'm here to prophesy. There's coming another mighty move of the Spirit, and I'm here to live it and experience it. My prayer for 45 years of full-time ministry have been, God, let me be a part of your end time revival. I don't want to leave this planet without being a part of that end time revival. I'm talking about something we don't manufacture. I'm talking about something that just is generated by the dynamos of God. Amen. Amen. You're going to live to see it. I'm just stubborn enough to live to see it. Perseverance is stubbornness with a purpose. That means that most of you are going to be able to hook up with that because I know you're stubborn in a good way. You shall reap in due season. That implies a date. That implies a schedule. There's a time to everything and to every season. How many of you found out that God's calendar doesn't always correspond with your calendar? He's got his own agenda, and he sees the big picture. And he knows what's beyond the horizon. He's already gone to prepare a place for you. The land of promise, a land that flows with milk and honey. Beulah land. I call it the land of no horizons. As far as you can see, fields of blessings. No gray clouds, no waves or wind of opposition, land of peace. In the presence of the Lord, there's peace and there's joy, like you feel right now. The closer you get to God, the more you can relax and unwind. I recommend that you just let all your weight down on that chair right now. Just go ahead and just let all the tension leave. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you didn't end up sucking carpet tonight. I think the way down is the way up. We humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He lifts us up. It's enigmatic. It's a paradox. The harder we try to lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps, the more we're grounded. But the more we relax, the more we're elevated. That's why we lift our hands. Elevation. Looking to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift descends from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation or shadow of turning. He's a good God. He's got good gifts for His children. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What pleasures God is blessing you. So if you want to make God happy, let Him bless you. I'm going to make Him real happy here tonight, because I'm going to get everything I can get. Praise God. I'm going to suck the glory right off of the streets of heaven before I get out of here tonight. You shall reap. You shall reap in due season. That implies a date, a time. You know, if a woman is pregnant, we always ask her, what's the due date? When is it due? Different due dates. You know, that doesn't mean anything if you're not pregnant. You have to be inseminated, impregnated, fertilized. Sorry, I'm trying to be real here, sowing and reaping. You won't have a harvest if you don't plant a seed. You plant a seed, there's a due date attached to that seed. As long as that seed remains dormant, it's not going to bring forth any fruit. But once it's planted, there are some people who have some false expectations. They think that they're going to have abundance of blessings by doing nothing. It doesn't work that way. We have to do something. Don't be weary in well-doing. I went to Raymond back in 1975. When they started Rhema, I was a charter member. You know, faith school. Things that be not, or, you know, we believe they already are. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. That's the kind of thing. Substance of things not seen. There was a young couple there that wanted a baby. And so they agreed in prayer that they would have a baby. And I'm going to be very graphic here. From all outward appearances, the young lady was pregnant. Her belly swelled. Her monthly cycle ceased. She began to lactate. She's wearing maternity clothes. They fixed up the nursery. They had a baby shower. And 7 months came, 8 months came, 9 months came, 10 months came. It was a false pregnancy. False expectations. That happens occasionally. That's a medical fact, a false pregnancy. I actually had a female beagle who had a false pregnancy. And it was interesting to watch how it worked. The beagle went through all the changes, but there was no due date. Are you listening to me? There was no due date. There had been no intimacy. There had been no transfer of the seed. There had been no insemination. There had been no fertilization. Are your expectations true? something to think about. There is no date set for not planting seed. Does that make sense? Could I say that better? You can sit on ready for the rest of your life, hoping, praying, but harvesting comes from planting seed. It's the way the kingdom works. Jesus taught it. He said, if you don't understand these simple principles, you're not going to understand anything about the kingdom. I was in Brockton, Massachusetts, and had a wonderful Holy Spirit service, just like the one we're having here. I like Holy Ghost services because amazing things happen. Things you can't even explain happen. And I was, when I left the service, I had to be led out. I was just in the fog of God. And they led me into this couple, I'd say mid-30s, ministry help, husband and wife team, led me back into the pastor's office while the pastor's wrapping up the service, and sat me in his chair behind his desk, and they got me a breath mint and a glass of water. And I'm just like this. I'm just a limp rag, still in the glory, and I looked at him, and I said, why don't you have children? Boy, I hit a nerve. Prophets are like that. They'll say things that are seemingly random. And they start boo-hooing, crying, shaking. I mean, it upset them so much. Their hopes are so high to have a child. And through their tears, they said, the doctors have told us, they'd been through a lot of doctors, that it's impossible for us to have children. Isn't that sad? That's one of those things the Bible talks about, you know, the barren womb. When Samuel told Hannah that she was going to have a child, she said, don't lie to me. Don't get my hopes up. And he said, this time next year, you're going to have a child. You believe the prophet, and you'll prosper. I said, oh, the doctor said you can't have a child. They said, right. The doctor said you can't have a child. I said, do you want to hear what the Holy Ghost says? And they went, mm-hmm. I said, you're not going to have a child. You're going to have two. The Lord has given twins to you. They collapsed under the power of God just like that. They hit the floor. He fell across her. I walked out of the room, turned off the light, and closed the door. I don't know what happened in there, but a year later, I dedicated their twins to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Something happened in that room. Praise the Lord. Something happened that scheduled a due date. What happened there scheduled, triggered events that would lead to a culmination, to a fulfilling, to a due date. I love David Ingalls' song, Into the Chamber, Be Free, Holy Spirit. Speak through me gently as I close the door. Heavenly lover, let thy presence cover. Shekinah unending is what I long for. Intimacy with God. Gabriel, the archangel, came to Mary. And he gave her a greeting, and he said, you're highly favored. You're going to have a child. You're going to call him Jesus. And she is so bewildered, so blown away. She asked, how can this be? Seeing I've never known a man. I'm a virgin. I'm an adolescent. I've never been with a man. How shall this be? You need to pay attention to the angel because it applies to you tonight in your due date. The power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing that is conceived inside of thee shall be the offspring of God. You know what the condition was? The overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the deep in Genesis and brought forth imminent life, incipient life. Praise God for the hovering of the Holy Spirit, the brooding of the Holy Spirit. brooding, gestation, completion. I'm just talking very natural terms right here. But there has to be a brooding. There has to be a covering. The Shekinah, the power of the Most High, the Pizkiazo, the cloud, the luminous cloud of God's preternatural power will come over you. And that holy thing which is conceived inside of you, after you're under that glory cloud, lift your hands up right now. After you're under that glory cloud, when you're under that glory cloud, God's going to make you pregnant with a miracle. Pregnant with a miracle, impregnated with miracle power. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She received the seed. But at some time in her young life, in her very near future, to meet the condition, she had to be under the glory cloud of God. And we know she was under the glory cloud of God. How do we know it? Because a virgin, God did a great thing, and a virgin gave birth. Praise God. She was under the Apizkiazo, the luminous cloud of God's supernatural glory. His glory is here tonight, covering you, hovering over you, bringing forth life on the inside of you. You shall conceive in your womb. Let me help you. You men think I'm talking to the ladies here. Men have wombs. I'm not talking about physically, biologically. I'm talking about spiritually. In the Greek, it says this way, you shall conceive in your matrix. Rosa, ¿qué quiere decir matriz? Womb. Matriz, matrix, womb. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your matriz shall flow, not out of your navel, out of your spiritual womb. Believe in your heart. Receive in your heart. When we're receiving in our heart, we're receiving in our matrix. Your born-again spirit is an organ of reproduction. Hallelujah. And when you receive the Word of God into your heart of hearts, into your matrix, you become impregnated with a miracle, and that miracle has a date assigned to it, a manifestation schedule, a harvest coming. Praise God. The precondition is being under the glory of God and letting Him inseminate you and germinate that seed on the inside of you. And if you want to make sure that it goes full term, then let the Holy Spirit continue to hover over you like a hen would hover over her brood, fanning, cooling it when it needs to be cooled, warming it when it needs to be warmed, maintaining the ideal conditions of full manifestation. Let's stand back up. The Holy Spirit is in this room. I'm going to give you a word tonight, and I want you to receive it. Did you know that the promises of God are yes and amen? Not hope so, not maybe so. Not I wish it were so. A lot of people wishing, hoping, praying, but the promises are yes. That's without equivocation. Yes means yes. And amen, so be it. I agree. I receive it. Receive the word into your heart. I'm going to say this as a prophet tonight. God has scheduled a new epoch in your life. A due season is a personal prophetic word that marks the end of one epoch and the beginning of an entirely new epoch. Things are getting ready to change. Such a wonderful change. For you and Bill, what a thrill. You're moving into a new epoch in your life, better than it's ever been. A new season. God's got a reason. A whole new epoch. a whole new era. Not just for a moment, not just for a day, but always. Hallelujah. In other words, you're going to move in past that event horizon, and whatever's on the outside isn't going to change where what God has for you on the inside. Hallelujah. Pastor, you're moving into an era. 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 You're moving into a new era. Hallelujah. You're not moving into a new minute or a new moment, but a long time. An epoch is a long time. It's like geological time. It's not our time, it's God's time. A day is like 1,000 years. When God says you're moving into an epoch, there's no end to the blessings, just over the horizons. That's why I call it the land of no horizons. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on forevermore. You're stepping over into a season where there's more than ever before. More wisdom, more revelation, more Holy Ghost power, more wealth, more authority. I'm prophesying to you, and the onus is upon you to receive it into your matrix or to just let it bounce around it between your ears. I'm not talking about head knowledge here. I'm talking about heart knowledge. Lift your hands up. There is the presence of God here. When Mary heard those words, she said, how can it be? The power of the Most High, the pizkiazo, the glory of God shall overshadow you, just like it's happening right here, right now. I can see it. I can see the glory over you. I can see the light that shines about you. I can see the beautiful mist of the fog of God in this room. That's what Mary entered into. And that holy thing that's birthed inside of you, those promises I gave you years ago, that you were wondering if they were really so, and you thought it should have already happened by now, but still you didn't quit. And now you're about ready to move over that event horizon. And joy shall never end. Just go on in. Just go on in. Just go on in. Let's imagine. Somebody drag this pulpit out of the way. Let's imagine. Anybody but me been to Niagara Falls? What I'm talking about is true, isn't it? I mean, it is just an amazing experience. It is a natural wonder. And what do they call that part of the St. Lawrence? The Niagara River? It's really just a normal-looking river. It's moving pretty fast and deep. Kind of a normal-looking river. You see boats out there and pleasure craft. But they have signs up warning people not to get any closer because there's a point of no return. That's what an event horizon is, a point of no return. I want to talk to you people who are kind of like borderline charismatics. If you keep playing around the creek bank, you're going to fall into the water. I'm telling you right now. You're going to slip into the water. You keep hanging around us Pentecostals, and you are going to slip into the water. Praise God. There is a point of no return. Praise God. You might as well just commit yourself and jump on in and don't look back and just be a full-blown tongue-talking, Bible-quoting, devil-chasing, wall-eyed Pentecostal. Amen. Just ain't going in, no going back. You passed the event horizon. No swimming back upstream. No trying to paddle the other direction. So here you are. You're going along. It is kind of, you know, like the guys going merrily, merrily down the stream. until they get into this current. And you can't paddle fast enough to get out of it. Motorboat couldn't bring you out of it. And all of a sudden, there is this immediate, abrupt change. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Oh, Lordy. My God. My God. Right up here, I feel like the waters are just coming up right here, kind of where this line is, right here. And I wouldn't cross this line if I were you. I would not get up here if I were you, because there's a point you cross it, you ain't never going to be the same. I would not come up here if I wanted my life to keep on like it's keeping on. But if I'm ready for a change, and you're ready to go over the horizon, if you're ready, then I double dog dare you to start playing around the creek bank up here. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Bill. We're going to have some fun in the Lord tonight. Bill, your event horizon is a mighty big thing. Oh, your event horizon, it's a total change. Hey, you're right on the edge. You've been playing around the ledge, but you're about ready to go over to the other side. Start prophesying.
Oh, yeah, you ready to go over to the other side? All right, girl. You're going to swim like you ain't never swam before. In the name of Jesus, heba soto yeba. Yeah, 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 yeah. Dive on in, girl. Dive on in the name of Jesus. Yeah, yeah, buddy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Boko soda da baka. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, I got you. Are. Oh, yeah, you are. I remember you dancing as just a young boy around this place. He ain't through with you yet. Yeah, he's got a brand new dance for you. Jump on in and dance, son. Dance. Yeah.
Brother Bill, a microphone. You ready to go to the other side? It's gonna change radically, radical change. Nothing will be the same. Praise God. You might as well just give up and give in. You might as well just go on. And if you're gonna swim, swim with Him. Praise God. I believe the waters aren't ankle deep. I believe the waters aren't knee deep. I believe the waters aren't waist deep. I believe the waters are going over our head. Waters to swim in. Praise God. You're going over to the other side. Amen. There's an event horizon.
Lord, I'm going to
just inside. Amen. Gonna go right over.
Going to the other side. Hallelujah.
Everything's gonna change.
Not gonna wait. Don't wanna be late. I'm going.
Going to the other side. Come on, sing with us. We don't know it either.
Oh, yes, I'm going.
Well, yes, we're going to the other side. Ah, yeah. Yes, we're going. Going to the other side.
Not gonna stop. Not gonna wait. Going to the other side.
jump in.
I won't be late. Yes, I'm going. Yeah. Going to the other side.
Come on, say it one more time. We're going. Going to the other side. Oh, we're rowing.
Rowing.
Rowing
to the other side.
Yeah. No, not going to quit. Not going to hesitate. I don't know what it says, but I'm going to be late, but going to the other side. going to the other side.
Going to the other side, yeah.
Yes, I'm
going
to the other side. Oh, I'm not going to quit. Don't hesitate. Cause
if you're pregnant with a miracle, give the Lord another hand clap. Amen. If you're ready for your change, give the Lord another hand clap. If you're ready to move across to the other side, give the Lord a hand clap. And I ain't going back. I've already been where I've been. I've already done what I've done. I'm looking to something that's yet to come. Hallelujah. And God's promises are true. What He promised, He will do. He's got a due season for you. Say this. Say, I got a due season. Say it again. I got a due season. Say it again. I got a due season. Say it again. I got a due season. Say it one more time. Now give the Lord a hand clap for it. Woo! I love it when a song just happens spontaneously. Well, it's not spontaneous. It's the Holy Ghost. And when you have people who can do it, you know, who can just improvise and just work at it a little bit. And it doesn't work if you don't have the right crowd with you. It's a concert of love. It's a love fest. And sometimes you can just create an atmosphere that brings forth such creativity and such spontaneity. And to me, that's the exciting thing about Pentecost, is we can't schedule a thing like this. But God scheduled this event tonight. The steps of good men are ordered of the Lord. I remember so many times, Damon, that I've prophesied to you. And I believe every word is true. But there's a reason for every season. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Amen. Come on, let's lift our hands again. Let that seed just take hold of the inside of you. We're going to have other times when we allow the Holy Spirit to hover over us. Rosa, could you come here for a moment? I'm going to give your testimony. As best as I can remember it, a few years ago, I prophesied to you that there was money that was hidden that you didn't know about. God was going to reveal it to you. So, stop me if I say this wrong. You had a friend, and she said, you know, you were married and you're a widow. And she said, yeah, but I was divorced before I became a widow. And the friend said, well, it doesn't make any difference. You have Social Security benefits as a widow. And she began to investigate it. And sure enough, it's true. Money that she didn't even know about. She's got a double retirement coming. She's living it right now, double retirement.
That is correct.
De veras? De veras, gloria al Señor.
Gloria.
Ha, me siento Latino. Sí. y mi corazón. No parece como latino. Bueno, puro bueno, gringo. We're talking about you is what we're doing. We're talking about you up here. Isn't that something? God scheduled you, and there was a period of time in there. There was a gestation period there between when I gave you the prophecy. Over 10 years. Are you sad? You don't look sad. So would you agree with me that people need to continue in well-doing, be patient, persevere? Would you agree?
Yes, I do agree. Yes.
Amen. See, you hear that word? You keep on keeping on. Thank you, Rosa. Gracias. You keep on keeping on. Yeah. I've had people write me and say, Brother Larry, you prophesied to me for over 20 years, and every prophecy has come to pass, and sometimes they say but one, and I'm hanging on. Well, you know, if God's already answered 99% of them, why would you quit? Things have a different due date. They're scheduled. You know, you look at your refrigerator. Things got due dates. Hallelujah. I'm not just holding you here for no reason. I sense God doing something here. I'm going to talk about inheritance. You may be seated. I'm going to talk about inheritance. Did you know that God is a swift judge to those who oppress the hireling his wages? God hates an unjust balance. God is a God who is very sensitive to fairness, to balance, to equity. And he hates fraud. He hates it when he sees people oppressed. He came down and spoke to Moses, and he said, I've heard the travail of my people by reason of their taskmasters. It was so frustrating to be slaves. And they were unproductive at that because Pharaoh was forcing them to make bricks that had no straw. In other words, they were crumbling. No reward for the work of their hands. Just tedium on a treadmill like a dumb ox. And God said, I've heard their prayers and I've come to balance these books. And let me tell you something. When the Israelites left Egypt, they left with all the gold and silver. And it used to bother me because God told Moses to tell the people to go borrow earrings and bracelets. That was how they displayed their wealth from all the Egyptians. He used the word borrow. And so they went to all their neighbors and they borrowed their jewelry, gold and silver. And they didn't give it back. In fact, they used it for the gold of the tabernacle and the gold of the altars and all that stuff, and they were rich in gold. And I asked the Lord about this, and you probably had this revelation long before I did. God said that was their money. That was their labor. 400 years of back wages. I have told African-American Christians on more than one occasion, I've told African Americans this, that if God does not make you wealthy, he owes the Egyptians an apology. Not just for your sake, but for your parents' sake and your grandparents' sake and your forefathers' sake. And I'm going to prophesy that God is ready to bring back some back wages to some people in this room. And being the opportunity. What's opportunistic person that I am? When I found out God was blessing African Americans, I became one. Well, by marriage, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. When she gets blessed, I get blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm teasing you right now, but I'm very serious about this. And this is, it doesn't make any difference what stripe you are. There are people in this room who've been defrauded, wages held back, inheritance in probate, Even relatives have stolen from you. Bosses have stolen from you. Deadbeat fathers have stolen from you. Doctors have stolen from you. Some of these so-called colleges are just rip-off institutions. God hates unjust balances. So I'm prophesying, if this is you, you need to stand up and receive this. If you're in this room and you have lost wages, been robbed of an inheritance or a reward, I want you to stand up and I want you to receive this word. Go ahead, Sister Renee. I want you to receive this word. God is going to recompense. God is going to reward. God is going to pay. God is going to balance the books. God is going to restore what the palmer worm and the cankerworm has destroyed. God is going to bring it back. The wealth of the nations is going to flow into you. God says when the thief is caught, he has to pay back 12 times. One scripture says 7, one says 12. I want you to do the math on that. I want you to do the math on that. You want to pick the lesser number, 7, go right ahead. I'm picking the higher number, 12. Praise God. I think things multiply. There were 12 tribes, 12 gates, 12 stones. Amen. 12 disciples. I'm going to use the word 12 here. Hallelujah. And I want you to do the math in your mind, and I want you to multiply what God has promised to return to you. And if you will receive it, I know it's a miracle. I know it's mind-blowing to think that God can take what was stolen from you and bring it back 12, multiplied 12 times. I know that's mind-blowing, but I'm not talking to your mind right now. I'm talking to your born-again human spirit, which is in union with God. And if you'll receive this into your heart of hearts, into your matrix, Mary said, how's it going to be? It's impossible with man, but with God all things are possible. Ladies and gentlemen, lift your hands. I want God to breathe on you right now. A breath of faith, a gift of faith, a Holy Spirit gift of faith. A gift of faith is not a faith you've built up on your own. A gift of faith is an operation of the Holy Spirit. It's the breath of God on you. Believing beyond your belief. Receiving beyond your normal receiving. Supernatural. I can't lay hands on everyone here tonight, but I can wave my hand over you and fan the fog of God. And I really hope you get a hold of this. I really hope you get a hold of this. All those back wages coming back, been ripped off, the money's coming back. Amen. You didn't get a bad attitude. You didn't become cynical. You didn't try to fight your own battle. And God's rewarding you for that. He says, be still and see the salvation of God. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's God. He has promised and He will perform it. But my heart is so tender towards this issue that if I had the ability to do it myself, I'd just do it. But what's coming to you is so big, it's going to take God to do it. Land, oil, mineral wealth. I prophesied one of the biggest casinos in America into California. It's called Thunder Valley. When preachers were preaching against it, I got a hold of the Native American, the United Tribes of Auburn, and the Miwok Nation, and I said, this is from God. You get a hold of this. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I said, if God doesn't bless Native Americans, He owes an apology to the Egyptians. You have been slaughtered. You had your land stolen from you. You've been marginalized and robbed. And I believe this is the hand of God. And it's an amazing thing. But a Christian tribe of people own Thunder Valley Casino. the highest grossing casino in for a while in the world until the recession hit California. It cost billions of dollars. The number was something like $20 billion to build it. It was paid for in 4.5 days. And oh yeah, I got some of that money too, hallelujah. Some of it went through my hands. Not as much as should have, because I was the only person standing with him. And I know so well the night it happened. I received an offering, and I picked up that offering. There was a couple of $100 in it. And I lifted it up and started praying, and smoke came out of the basket and went around the room. Everybody saw it. And the whole room got filled up with the smoke. And I fell under the power. I was out for 3.5 hours. I didn't know what happened, but people told me. When I dropped the basket, a man dove off the front row and grabbed the basket. Power God knocked him down. He threw the basket back up. That happened 3 times. They're fumbling this basket. Everyone who touched it got knocked to the floor. And I was down for 3.5 hours. I thought it was 5 minutes. When I came to, I crawled to the front. Everybody's still in church. Tear tracks on people's faces. Nobody had sneezed, coughed, made a noise. Complete silence for 3.5 hours. It was so holy that no one dared to move. You get in places like that in God. No one dared move. And while I was down there, I can't tell you the story tonight. 2 angels came and talked to me. That whole 3.5 hours, I had a conversation with 2 angels. They told me about my life and my ministry and what to look for in the future. Changed my life. And that was the night that that seed took hold in those Miwok people. From that moment forward, they knew that this was going to be a reality. You might challenge me on my theology, but honey, if God tells you to do something, it's not a gamble. If God tells you to do something, it ain't chance. You put money in the stock market, there's a risk. You put money in real estate, there's a risk. There's a risk with everything. So it's all a gamble. You say, well, I don't believe in gambling. Well, you've been doing it all your life. You may not have been dropping quarters in a slot machine, but you put a lot of money down into a bottomless well. And I'm here to tell you that God is breathing on you tonight. Oklahoma, where the wind blows. God's getting ready to blow. He's breathing upon his treasure house in heaven, and the winds of change are bringing blessings like God brought the quail by the wind. He's bringing provision. He's bringing reward. He's bringing blessings of the Lord. The winds of God are getting ready to blow out of God's treasure house upon you. Praise God. Why don't you just minister to the Lord? Let's take 2 minutes. Sit in his presence. I can't ask you to sit for 3.5 hours. I mean, if God doesn't make something like that happen, it's not going to happen. But we can sit here for 2 minutes and just marinate. Let him hover over us. Go ahead, Renee.
He lives in you. He lives in me. He watches over everything we see. Into the water, into the truth, in your reflection, he lives in you. He lives in me. in me. He lives in me. He watches over. He watches over everything, everything we see. Into the water, into the water, into the truth. In your reflection, in your reflection, he lives in you, he lives in you. From the top, he lives in you, he lives in me,
he lives in me.
He watches over. Water,
into the water,
into the truth, into the truth, in your reflection,
in your reflection.
He lives in you,
he lives
in you, in you.
He lives in you.
He lives in me.
He lives in me.
He watches over.
He watches over
everything we say.
Everything we see.
Into the water.
Into the water.
Into the truth.
Into the truth.
In your reflection.
In your reflection,
he lives in you,
he lives in
me, he lives in you,
he lives in me,
he lives in me, he lives.
Anointing. Thank you, Father. Your promises that fail not. Before Brother Larry came tonight, I was standing right there, and I heard the Spirit say, "For this season I prepared you. For this season I brought you along the way. Now lay hold of the promises. Lay hold of the promises. Lay hold of the promise. Church, lay hold of every promise God's given you. He's prepared us. Every bump in the road you've been through, every crisis, everything is preparing you to stand stronger, stand taller, to grasp more. I can tell you, it's not fun going through hell. But I found that God was faithful, and you can't stop me. Bulldozers can't pull me off of the promises of God. It is our due season. Pastor, I know because God said so. Our due season. And then Brother Larry comes in this morning and says, God gave me a word for this congregation. Due season. Well, if he turned the flower over, we could have read that, but he was too busy admiring his own picture. You don't see it all the time, but there are men and women who labor behind the scenes at the House of the Lord. And I'd like you to give a hand to all the hostesses and ushers of House of the Lord, would you? Now, if you have a ministry call on your life to some element of the fivefold ministry, we, during the MAC every year, prepare an afterglow, and our ladies work so hard. Some of them are gathering here at 5:30 tonight to make sure the food and refreshments are ready. Directly across the hall, they're setting up right now so that the ministers can fellowship with one another. Sometimes, Lou and I was with someone recently at dinner, and they began to talk to me, and I began to tell them what God was speaking to their heart, what God was saying in their lives. Because when two people come together, it's a perfect ground for the Holy Spirit to bring revelation. They said, how do you know those things? I said, I didn't know it before you opened your mouth. But I heard God say, and so I told you what God said about what you were to do, where you were to go, what you were to have. They contacted me later and said, I got home, got before Daddy, and he confirmed every word. Church, something can occur for our ministers while they're in there, so don't envy them. Don't say, I want to slip in and get me some food. It's not about the food. It's about the ministers fellowshipping, worshiping together. So for all the ministers, your family, the door is open. Grab a plate, grab a place, and expect God to speak through you. Right now, I want to give you an opportunity to invest in the ministries that God has sent to us. We will not be receiving tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. We will not receive an offering for the expenses or the church. It'll all go into the ministry, except for Wednesday night's the tithe and offering. But we want to bless the ministers. We want to invest in them. So whatever Daddy directs your heart, as you purpose in your heart, give tonight to God. You can make your checks payable to House of the Lord. That way we can bless the ministers. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, say tomorrow morning at 10. Brother Joel will be speaking. He's got a word in season to bring to you. Be here at 10 o'clock. Be ready to receive. And then tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, I'm coming expecting the anointing. I'm coming expecting God's presence and power. Your expectation will determine what you receive. If you come to spectate, you've received everything you're going to get. Unless God has mercy on your
bystander heart. But when you come expecting, God honors you and meets you at your point of faith. I've never seen God not be faithful to His word. I've been young and I've been not quite so young. And Daddy is faithful. He will do what He said He would do. As Brother Larry said, it's not always on my time. Sometimes I want to tell God, do you see this? But He doesn't wear a watch and He won't look at mine. He's got His own way of doing things. And it's His word, His anointing, and the overshadowing of His Holy Spirit. Get His word, seek His anointing, and wait for the Holy Spirit to crown you with fulfillment. As you're releasing your offering, release your faith in God. When the offering is received, consider yourself dismissed. Unless you're one of the ministers who will be going across to fellowship. And I'll see you tomorrow night. God bless you. His hand is upon you for success. It is your season. Lay hold of your promise and remind God, I am here with my hands open for your blessings and your abundance. God bless you. See you tomorrow night and tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.